Amen. All right. I want to welcome everybody to the Master's Class here at Life Change Church. Life Change Church. And we are in the book of Genesis, chapter 27. We're going to go through the entire chapter here today. And we're going to be talking about a family of lies and liars. Family of lies and liars. So over the last several weeks, we've been studying about the family of Isaac and Rebekah and Esau and Jacob. And from the very birth of these two children, neither of the parents nor the children were obedient to God's will. Now, each member of this family knew of God's proclamation that Jacob was to be the one that the covenant blessing was to be passed to. And each person set about either attempting to bypass this proclamation or to obtain it through lies and deceit. And each member of this family was controlled by the carnal nature that existed within them and which demanded that they solve their problems under their own strength and very limited wisdom. As a result, each of these people suffered the consequences of their decision to be disobedient to God. And we're going to see a lot of that today and then over the next several weeks as we study about Jacob. Now, chapter 27 is really a sad chapter because everyone in it is doing the wrong thing, especially Isaac. Especially Isaac. And as the head of the family, Isaac is supposed to be the spiritual leader, right? But he was a spiritually weak man, and he was controlled by his carnal desire. He was a liar, and he was disobedient to God. And his family followed his lead. They were all a family of lies and liars. That's where we get the text of our lesson from. So this chapter has as its theme Jacob and Rebekah conniving to get the blessings of Isaac for Jacob, which Isaac had every intention of giving to Esau in spite of God's revealed will. You see, Jacob wanted the blessing of his father. He knew that God had promised his mother that the elder would serve the younger, so the blessing was already his. He didn't have to do anything. It was already his. All he had to do was to wait on God. However, he did not trust God to handle this. So Rebekah certainly didn't trust God either. And evidently Isaac didn't trust God, or he would have never attempted to bypass Jacob and give the blessing to Esau. And he followed his own feelings and appetite in contradiction to the distinct word of God. Now, something I want to make very clear, the method Jacob used in obtaining the birthright cannot be supported on any grounds whatsoever. Not whatsoever. He used fraud and deceit. His conduct was absolutely despicable. God did not condone this any more than he condoned the conduct of Sarah and Abraham in the matter of Hagar and Ishmael. Now, you cannot and do not say that God gave this blessing to Jacob because of what he did. For God could not and would not use trickery and cleverness as of Jacob. He would not use that. Jacob received his blessing in spite of his actions because God had covenanted to do so. As we shall see over the next few weeks, God deals with Jacob in a very definite way for his actions. Jacob had to pay for his sin in the same manner in which he sinned. You see, old Jacob was deceived and lied to by an even greater liar than he was. He met Uncle Laban. And Uncle Laban is the dean of the College of Liars. And we're going to see that over the next several weeks. So now it gets started into our lesson with that as an introduction. And we get to Isaac's decision. We're going to walk through all four of these people and talk about their actions in this event. And so we start with chapter 22, and we're going to start talking about Isaac in verses 1 and 2. And it says, "And it came to pass that when Isaac was old, and his eyes were dim, so that he could not see, he called Esau, his eldest son, and said unto him, My son. And he said unto him, Behold, here am I. And he said, Behold now, I am old, and I know not the day of my death. And so Isaac, we see, was getting old. And so he had made the decision that it was time to give his blessing to Esau. Now, it's important that we understand that the situation that existed within his family did not develop in a single day for this to occur. It had its beginning with the very birth of these two boys and the decision by Isaac and Rebekah to each choose a favorite son. It was that favoritism that planted the seed of the dilemma that we see now before us. So each person described by these verses played their part in this sad family. This was a family that had drifted away from the Lord because each was dealing with their problems by using the world's concept of how to deal with things. They were not looking and trusting in the Lord at all. They knew what the Lord had said, and yet each person set about a path that was contrary to the wishes of God. So Isaac was 137 years old. You'd think he was old enough to know better, right? So his stepbrother, Ishmael, had died at that age. And perhaps that is what was leading Isaac's mind to being filled with thoughts of his own death. Now, he was mistaken about his death being near because he lived for another 43 years. In fact, he would die at the age of 180 years old. However, with his mind on death, Isaac decided to take care of his will. And the greatest thing he could give would be his patriarchal blessing. It was a blessing that involved not only his property, but the right to be the priest of the family and the seed from which the promised seed, Christ, would come. Now, it's important to note that the line that Christ would come from was decided from before the foundation of time. God chose the lineage. He chose it from Adam all the way up to Mary. And he chose that lineage that Christ would come from. They were not all men. They were not all good people. If you ever really want to get into a good study, the first couple of chapters of Matthew have a great lineage of the people who were in the line of Jesus Christ. And if we teach the book of Matthew one of these days, we'll do that lineage here. So they were not all good people, but they were the choice of God. This decision that Isaac was making about who to bestow the blessing on was not Isaac's choice to make. The blessing had to be bestowed in accordance with the revealed will of God. It was God who decided, and nothing that Isaac would or could do would change that decision. Now, Isaac was right in wanting to give the blessing. But he was absolutely wrong in deciding to give that blessing to his favorite son, Esau. Now, he knew very well that God had proclaimed, the elder will serve the younger. And Isaac had deliberately chosen to bypass the will of God for his own will. Now, this blessing was to be given to Jacob, not Esau, because God had said so. Now, it is certainly possible to have a good desire to meet the spiritual things of God and then mess them all up in the execution. And the Bible has plenty of examples of this. For example, David was right in wanting to move the ark safely and permanently to be housed in Jerusalem. He was wrong to move it on a cart. Saul was right in wishing to consult God before the Battle of Gilboa. He was wrong in resorting to witchcraft to obtain the guidance that he desired. Now, you know, I often have a very good desire to have the proper Christmas spirit and make my wife's Christmas extra special by getting her all the right gifts, and then I mess it up because I have no foggy clue as to what it is that what those gifts ought to be. And so I end up sadly lacking in what I give every year. And it hasn't changed in 46 years of marriage, and it's not likely to get any better anytime soon, no matter what my heart's desire is. My heart was in the right place, but I failed in the execution of what to do on that. It is possible to have a good desire to meet the spiritual things of God and then mess them up in the execution. So the very next thing we see is Isaac's carnality. Verses 3 and 4. He says, "Now therefore, take, I pray thee, thy weapons, thy quiver, and thy bow, and go out into the field, and take me some venison." Isaac loved the savory meats that Esau provided him. And it is that desire that created the devotion to Esau that Isaac felt. It is what fed the carnal desires of Isaac's mind. And Paul describes this best in Romans 8, 5 through 8. It says, "For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. So then they that are in the flesh cannot please God." So Paul tells us that the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. Isaac wanted it his own way. He knew beyond any shadow of a doubt that the blessing should go to Jacob, but Jacob was not his favorite son. God had given him his word on where the blessing should go. Isaac knew exactly where the blessing should go, but that meant nothing to Isaac. The carnal mind in Isaac was not subject to the law of God, meaning that he was willing to set aside the will of God for his own will. Isaac had made his decision to be disobedient to God. Now, the text then moves from Isaac to Rebekah. So we've talked about Isaac and his decision that he made. Now we're going to talk about Rebekah's decision. We learn about old Rebekah here in verses 5 and 7, 5 through 7. "And Rebekah heard when Isaac spake to Esau his son, and Esau went to the field to hunt for venison, and to bring it. And Rebekah spake unto Jacob her son, saying, Behold, I heard thy father speak unto Esau thy brother, saying, Bring me venison, and make me savory meat, that I may eat and bless thee before the Lord before my death." So notice that Rebekah overhears the conversation between Isaac and Esau. You mean she was listening in on the conversations that were going on? Yeah, of course. That's what good wives do, right? Yeah, absolutely. And so she then summons Jacob, and she tells him what she heard. And she then convinces herself and Jacob that she needs to outsmart her husband. Now, and the wife would never try to do that, would they? No, never, never. She tells herself that surely it can't be wrong to do so, because she knows that God has already promised the blessings to Jacob, right? So, therefore, the end result certainly justifies whatever she has to do. It justifies the means. The end justifies the means, right? Yet Rebekah was not about just to trust on God to get this done. And so next we see Rebekah's deceit. Verses 8 through 10, "And now therefore, my son, obey my voice according to that which I command thee. Go now to the flock and fetch me from thence two good kids of the goats, and I will make them savory meat for thy father, such as he loveth. And thou shalt bring it to thy father that he may eat, and that he may bless thee before his death." So here's old Rebekah, and she tells Jacob, "Go now to the flock and fetch me from thence two good kids of the goats." Now, that probably means they're obedient goats, right? Obedient kids. No, I think it's probably good. Good tasting, right? "And I will make them savory meat for thy father, such as he loveth." I know, I'm the only one that thinks I'm funny. Just like any other husband, right? Yeah, I hear you.
But at least someone thinks
you're
funny.
Yeah, every once in a while, right? Yeah. So we get a dash of this and a pinch of that. Then you add a bunch of gravy over all of it, right? And who can tell the difference between goat meat and venison, right? Certainly not Isaac. He couldn't. So we've seen how Isaac had deliberately chosen to bypass God's commands, and now Rebekah deliberately chooses to deceive her husband. Well, now that just sounds like a marriage made in, well, someplace other than heaven, right? So Rebekah convinced herself that she had good reasons to be deceitful, just like many of us do when we do not trust on God. And just like us, Rebekah is going to pay for her disobedience by having her favorite son flee for his life, never to be seen by her again. All right, so now we've gone through Isaac and we've gone through Rebekah. Now we come to Jacob's deceit. So the very next character in this wholesome family is the youngest son, Jacob. Now Jacob wanted the blessing of God, and he was not too concerned about how he got it. The first thing we're going to see about is Jacob's fear. Jacob's fear. Verses 11 through 13, and Jacob said to Rebekah, his mother, "Behold, Esau, my brother, is a hairy man, and I am a smooth man. My father peradventure will feel me and shall seem to him as a deceiver, and I shall bring a curse upon me and not a blessing." And his mother said unto him, "Upon me be thy curse, my son. Only obey my voice and go fetch me then." So now, Jacob knew that his father was blind, that he would not be able to see who it was that was bringing him this savory meat. But he also knew that there was a considerable difference in the physical characteristics between Esau, who was a man of the field, and Jacob, who was a man of the tents. Now, Jacob's response to his mother was, "Listen, behold it. Esau, my brother, is a hairy man, and I'm a smooth man. My father, peradventure, will feel me, and I shall seem to him as a deceiver." So, not only was there a difference in how hairy the two sons were, they even smelled differently. One of the field and one of the tents. And their voices were different as well. Now, knowing all this, Jacob responds to his mother, "My father, peradventure, will feel me, and I will seem to him as a deceiver, and I shall bring a curse upon me and not a blessing." So Jacob was afraid that he might be found out, and instead of a blessing, he would receive a curse from his father. Now, I want you to notice, though, that it didn't really bother Jacob that he would be deceiving his father. He just didn't want to get caught being a deceiver. So the next thing we see is Jacob's falsehood. Verses 14 through 27, long text here. Bear with me as I try to get through it. "And he went and fetched and brought them to his mother, and his mother made savory meat, such as his father loved. And Rebekah took goodly raiment of her eldest son Esau, which were with her in the house, and put them upon Jacob, her younger son. And she put the skins of the kids of the goats upon his hands and upon the smooth of his neck. And she gave the savory meat and the bread which she had prepared into the hand of her son Jacob. And he came unto his father and said, 'My father.' And he said, 'Here am I. Who art thou, my son?' And Jacob said unto his father, 'I am Esau, thy firstborn. I have done according as thou badest me. Arise, I pray thee, sit and eat my venison, that thy soul may bless me.' And Isaac said unto his son, 'How is it that thou hast found it so quickly, my son?' And he said, 'Because the Lord thy God brought it to me.'" Oh my. "And Isaac said unto Jacob, 'Come near, I pray thee, that I may feel thee, my son, whether thou be my very son Esau or not.' And Jacob went near unto Isaac his father, and he felt him and said, 'Now the voice is Jacob's voice, but the hands are the hands of Esau.' And he discerned him not, because his hands were hairy as his brother Esau's hands. So he blessed him. And he said, 'Art thou my very son Esau?' And he said, 'I am.' And he said, 'Bring it near to me, and I will eat of my son's venison, that my soul may bless thee.' And he brought it near to him, and he did eat. And he brought him wine, and he drank. And his father Isaac said unto him, 'Come near now, and kiss me, my son.' And he came near and kissed him, and he smelled the smell of his raiment, and blessed him, and said, 'See, the smell of my son is as the smell of the field, which the Lord hath blessed.'" So here was old Jacob. He was dressed in Esau's finest clothes, wearing goat's hair on his neck and arm. And Jacob sets out to deceive his father. Now, without a doubt, Jacob was an accomplished liar. You know, the funny thing about lying is that to get really good at it, you have to do it an awful lot. Now, this tells us something about Jacob. Now, you might ask, well, Keith, how do you know he was an accomplished liar? Well, let's just do a little bit of counting here. All right, let's go back and read through those verses. Verses 18 and 19. And he came unto his father and said, my father. And he said, here am I. Who art thou, my son? And Jacob said unto his father, I am Esau. Oh, that's lie number one. Thy firstborn. Lie number two. I have done according as thou badest me. Lie number three. Arise, I pray thee, sit and eat of my venison. Lie number four. That thy soul may bless me. Wow. Four lies in one single breath. Right? Four lies. Now let's go to verse 20. And Isaac said unto his son, how is it that thou hast found it so quickly, my son? And he said, because the Lord thy God brought it to me. Lie number five. And notice this time, he uses the name of God to lend credence to his lie. Ah, he's not ashamed at all. Then verse 24. And he said, art thou my very son Esau? And he said, I am. Lie number six, right? Six lies in the span of 30 seconds. Jacob was indeed a consummate liar. Now, old Isaac, he felt something was wrong. But he couldn't figure it out. Because he had the voice of Jacob. But he had the hairy hands. He had the hairy neck. He had the smell of his clothes. But most of all, he had the savory meat, right? He went with his feelings instead of what was bothering him. Those same carnal feelings that had gotten him into this mess to very begin with, right? He smelled that savory meat, and all doubts went away. Now, I have to admit, this is something that I can relate to, okay? There are a number of times that the smell of a good meal has caused me to eat and a whole lot more than I should and get myself into trouble, right? Now, without a doubt, my parents told me to eat everything on my plate because there were starving kids in China that would go hungry if I didn't do that. Now, I have to admit, that never did make sense to me a whole lot, okay? But I ate it. I ate every crumb on my plate. My dad would stick it up on top of the refrigerator and make me eat it later if I didn't eat it. So I ate every bite. Now, the result is today, if you put food in front of me, I will eat it, all of it. Especially if it smells good and it tastes good. Now, I'm just doing that just to keep those kids in China from starving, right? Yeah, there you go, yeah. I don't want those kids to starve. Oh, yeah, absolutely, yeah. I don't have any trouble eating that at all. Yeah, not one bit. So, then we get to Jacob's stolen blessing. Now, next, we turn to the blessing itself, and Scripture provides us with the content of the blessing. And this is verses 28 and 29, and it is Isaac blessing Jacob. Therefore, God give thee of the dew of heaven, and the fatness of the earth, and plenty of corn and wine. Let people serve thee, and nations bow down to thee. Be Lord over thy brethren, and let thy mother's sons bow down to thee. Cursed be everyone that curseth thee, and blessed be he that blesseth thee. So now this blessing bestowed on Jacob unlimited prosperity and power, the fatness of the earth, and sovereignty over nations, and lordship over his brethren, and divine protection. So that's the content of the blessing. And then the Scripture goes on to give us the confirmation of the blessing. Verses 30 through 33, and it came to pass, as soon as Isaac had made an end of blessing Jacob, and Jacob was yet scarce gone out of from the presence of Isaac his father, that Esau his brother came in from his hunting. And he also had made savory meat, and brought it unto his father, and said unto his father, let my father arise and eat of his son's venison, that thou soul may bless me. And Isaac his father said unto him, who art thou? And he said, I am thy son, thy firstborn Esau. And Isaac trembled very exceedingly and said, who? Where is he that hath taken venison and brought it to me? And I have eaten all before thou camest and have blessed him. Yea, he shall be blessed. So here we see Jacob leaving with the blessing in hand. And Isaac, leaning back, all satisfied that he had defied the Lord and he had succeeded in giving the blessing to Esau. And then suddenly Esau, he enters in, and there is no doubt who it is that has come into the tent. Now notice that the scripture tells us, and Isaac trembled very exceedingly. So this was just really a moment of rude awakening for Isaac. Now my Scofield Bible renders it, he trembled with great trembling. In other words, he was shaken right down to his toes. Yet it was more than just a physical shaking that took place within Isaac. Notice how this verse ends. And it says, yea, and he shall be blessed. So Isaac was awakened from the spiritual slumber that he had been in, and he was faced with the tremendous power of the Holy Spirit's conviction in his heart. And it was then that he realized that God's will for his sons was better than his own will for them. And with this statement, Isaac confirms that Jacob is the rightful owner of the blessing. When he says, and yea, he shall be blessed, he was finally agreeing with God as to who ought to be blessed. And so next we come to Esau, and we see Esau's despair. So this is the last person in this four-person group of liars and lying. So Esau looked at things through the eyes of the world. And his father's blessing was something that could be bought and sold. So four things are told us about Esau. And the first is Esau's impassioned remorse, verses 34 through 35. And when Esau heard the words of his father, he cried with a great and exceeding bitter cry and said unto his father, bless me, even me also, O my father. And he said, thy brother came with subtlety and hath taken away thy blessing. So in his despair, Esau is crying out with a great and exceeding bitter cry and says to his father, bless me, even me also, O my father. Yet Esau found no way to change his father's mind, not even with tears. And we see this in Hebrews chapter 12, verses 16 through 17. Lest there be any fornicator or profane person as Esau, who for one morsel of meat sold his birthright. For ye know how that afterward, when he would have inherited the blessing, he was rejected. For he found no place of repentance, though he sought it carefully with tears. So even though Esau was seeking this blessing with tears, he was to be rejected. He made his desires for the things of this world known, and now he was being left without. So next we see Esau's implacable resentment, verses 36 and 37. And he said, is not he rightly named Jacob? For he has supplanted me these two times. He took away my birthright, and behold, now he taketh away my blessing. And he said, hast thou not reserved a blessing for me? And Isaac answered and said unto Esau, behold, I have made him thy lord, and all his brethren have I given to him for servants. And with corn and wine have I sustained him, and what shall I do now unto thee, my son? So now, realizing the depths of Jacob's deceit, Esau declares, is not he rightly named Jacob? Because you remember, the name Jacob means the supplanter. It says, for he has supplanted me these two times. Now, you can kind of understand Esau's resentment, for he was both right and wrong to resent what his brother had done. What Jacob had done was reprehensible, and it was underhanded, and it was mean, and it was completely unnecessary when God had already vowed to bless him. So while we can understand Esau's resentment, we must also acknowledge that he had sold his birthright of his own free will. Nobody had forced his hand. Esau had treated his birthright with disdain, and it was a little late to be feeling wronged now. So the third thing we see is Esau's persistent request, verses 38 and 40. It says, and Esau said unto his father, hast thou but one blessing, my father? Bless me, even me also, O my father. And Esau lifted up his voice and wept. And Isaac his father answered and said unto him, behold, thy dwelling shall be the fatness of the earth and of the dew of the heaven from above. And by thy sword shalt thou live, and shalt thou serve thy brother. And it shall come to pass, when thou shalt have the dominion, that thou shalt break his yoke from off thy neck. So now with an urgent cry, Esau pleaded with his father for even one blessing, asking hast thou not but one blessing for me? And Isaac did find a blessing for him, one that involved wealth and war, but nothing that had any lasting eternal value. Isaac also told him that he would eventually break Jacob's yoke off of his neck. And then the fourth thing we see is Esau's impulsive resolve. Verse 41, and Esau hated Jacob because of the blessing wherewith his father blessed him. And Esau said in his heart, the days of mourning for my father are at hand. Then will I slay my brother Jacob. So he's saying that when my father dies, Jacob is toast. All right? So Esau's immediate thought was that perhaps he could obtain through murder what he could not buy with meat. And then we switch back to Rebekah, and we see Rebekah's punishment. Verses 42 through 46. And these words of Esau, her elder son, were told to Rebekah. And she sent and called Jacob, her younger son, and said unto him, behold, thy brother Esau, as touching thee, doth comfort himself, purposing to kill thee. Now therefore, my son, obey my voice, and arise, and flee thou to Laban, my brother, to Haran, and tarry there with him a few days, until thy brother's fury turn away, until thy brother's anger turn away from thee, and he forget that which thou hast done to him. Then I will send, and fetch thee from thence. Why should I be deprived also of you both in one day? And Rebekah said to Isaac, I am weary of my life because of the daughters of Heth. If Jacob take a wife of the daughters of Heth, such as these which are of the daughters of the land, what good shall my life do me? So now this last figure we see in this story is the fearful Rebekah, who overhears Esau's words and then creates her own punishment for her deceit. She plans to send her favorite son back to her brother Laban. It'll be the last time that she will ever see him. Amen. Amen.